Well, we're going to continue worshiping by reading God's Word together, and on behalf of all of our Davidson County campuses, let me welcome you and thank you for joining us. If we haven't met before, my name is Aaron Bryant, and I have the honor of serving as the campus and teaching pastor here at the church at Avenue South, and I also have the privilege of serving as the lead campus pastor for our Davidson County campuses. And so I have the honor of serving alongside of Doug Jones and our Woodbine congregation. We're so glad you're with us. David Hanna and our church at Lachlan Springs campus, and also Brandon Owen and our Harpeth Heights campus. We love you guys. We love each other. And we have been in this time of quarantine just like you have. And so we thought, you know what? Let's try something a little different. And so we thought that we would join together to walk through the Sermon on the Mount as we have been doing all of our campuses the past several weeks. We are hopefully appropriately distanced from one another. We want you to know we're joking about that in some way, but we take that very seriously. We're even planning and preparing about what the next several weeks look like and the potential possibility of reopening. And we're taking your health and the well-being of looking out for the vulnerable and our congregations and communities very seriously. And so we want to model that for you. But we hope you'll lean in over the next few minutes with us as we walk through today's text. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 together, and I'm going to read that for us in just a moment, then we're going to dialogue a little bit about the text. But one of the things that we have discovered as we've walked through the Sermon on the Mount is how Jesus calls us to follow him into new life. The same Jesus who has died for us to provide us the opportunity of forgiveness of sin and redemption, God raised him to now live for us. And so Jesus has the ability to empower us to live new, abundant life. And one of the things Jesus talks about is this kingdom life that we can enjoy, that we can grab hold of. And in doing so, we can flourish and we can find purpose and confidence in our lives. And so one of the things we've seen throughout the Sermon on the Mount is that Jesus talks about there are certain attitudes and thoughts, even actions that lead to your flourishing. But he's very clear. I mean, he doesn't shy away from addressing there are certain things that you can do. There are thoughts, there are attitudes, there are behaviors that are unhealthy. They are not God's best for us. And so some people would say there's a right way to live, there's a wrong way to live. And one of the things that we have been talking about the past week, and one of the things I notice in Scripture and just what we know about our human condition, it is a beautiful world and people are beautiful, but we're also broken and fallen. And a lot of times, even as Christians, we tend to focus on the people who are doing the unhealthy things. We spend more time focusing and sometimes even sitting in judgment or criticizing people's motivations, their thoughts, their attitudes, as if we are judge or jury over their life. And so we all, as humans, have a proclivity to sit in judgment and evaluation upon others when we have no right to do so. This past week, I realized that this welled up in my own flesh. One of the things we've been doing as a family throughout this quarantine time to hopefully support our local businesses is that we have been going as a family, doing something called Takeout Tuesday. Every Tuesday, we pile in the car and we go somewhere. And as we go through a drive-through, we try to bless and encourage whoever may be there at the restaurant. And this past week, part of our food order was provided, and then we were asked to pull around to the front of the restaurant. As we waited, it just felt like we were waiting a real long time. And I began thinking, man, what's going on and what has taken so long? And we're probably the only car in the drive-thru. And I began to think through all of the things that the people in the restaurant, who we love and appreciate and care about, could be doing maybe differently to speed things up. Yeah. And I turned on the light in my car. I looked at the timestamp of my receipt. It felt like 30 minutes, but it had been 4 minutes. And immediately I felt shame. I felt guilt. I felt sinfulness over sitting in judgment or evaluating someone else's motives or what they could be doing. And the Lord reminded me of this text, that there are right things to do and there are wrong things that happen, but it's not our place to judge. We can address what we think and feel is wrong, whether it's culturally or in someone else's life, but there's a right way to do it. And there is a way that pursues someone else's redemption and their growth while at the same time communicates that we want to love them well. And that's exactly what Jesus talks about in this text. So let me read this for us. Jesus says in verse 1 of chapter 7, "Do not judge so that you won't be judged. For you will be judged by the same standard with which you judge others. And you'll be measured by the same measure that you use. Why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but you don't even notice the beam of wood in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the splinter out of your eye,' and look, there's a beam of wood in your own eye? Jesus said, "You hypocrite, first take the beam of wood out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly how to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. Don't give what is holy to dogs or toss your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them under their feet, and they will turn and tear you to pieces." So Jesus addresses the tension here of living in a way that addresses what may be unhealthy or wrong, but doing it in a very redemptive way and being mindful of what's at stake. Now, how do we do that and do it well?
Well, I mean, you talk about the tension. There's a ton of tension here. This is, I mean, Matthew 7:1 is everybody's favorite verse. Don't judge me or you're going to be judged. It's people that have never opened a Bible, it's
they
their favorite
verse
because, you know, Tupac, God can judge me. Don't ever listen to that song. But it's that we use it, first of all, the first tension is oftentimes we use it so much that we become judgmental ourselves.
Yeah.
We judge the judgmental. The flip side is, you know, we use it as this hammer to say, I can do whatever I want. I don't have to walk and be an answer to anybody else. You can't judge me. Don't judge me. And yet we as believers are called to hold each other accountable. We're called to walk in accountability. Amongst many other places in the scripture, you've got Paul in Galatians 6. You know, he tells us, when you see something that's wrong, come alongside your brother and help to restore them and do it with a gentle spirit. Yeah. He refers to it as carrying each other's burdens. So we're called to hold each other accountable. This passage is not a prohibition on accountability. It's a prohibition on measurement, on measuring ourselves against other people.
Right.
It's this idea of taking this plank out of your own eye before you look at somebody else's eye, before you look at the speck in somebody else's eye. But there in verse 5, he does say, once you address the plank in your own eye, once you're aware of that, you can see clearly to help your brother with the speck. It's not a prohibition on holding each other accountable.
Yeah, but what you just brought out is it starts with you.
Like absolutely.
Even if you think you have a legitimate gripe or beef with somebody else, before you even address it, even whatever your motivation is, look at yourself first.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The key, there's several keys in all of this, kind of walking in this tension as Jesus addresses this tension. But one of which is recognizing, look at this passage. How many times does he say, your brother, your brother, your brother? This is meant for believers, brothers and sisters in Christ that are walking in relationship. So often we take the moral compass that our Savior gave us in the scriptures and place it onto our friends and neighbors that have yet to meet Jesus. And that never works.
And how do we expect someone who doesn't love Jesus yet to even want to obey Jesus yet? I mean, we should never try to put that on them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And we want to be sensitive to if that's part of your story and you have, you know, been judged or felt condemned before you even have decided whether or not to walk with Jesus. Goodness, if we have jump the gun on that and cause somebody to be reticent to follow Jesus. I mean, we must repent. I mean, that is devastating.
Absolutely.
To me. But at the same time, we've got to see in this text, and you challenged me, David, a couple weeks ago, or at least we had this discussion about those of us who do follow Jesus to be a part of this teaching in a sense that we see ourselves as those that Jesus is teaching against because we so often can become that person that can't see the direction we need to be going. We're not living in light of what Jesus is teaching because it's hard. And I get there, and I've got to I need you to help me realize when I do.
Well, and the bottom line, I feel like I've been preaching the same sermon the entire time we've been doing the Sermon on the Mount, and this is no exception. The bottom line is, as we are walking in these relationships of accountability, as we're both practicing and seeking out accountability in our own lives, as we're addressing the plank in our own eye so we can look at the speck in our brother's eye, it has to be, it's all a matter of the heart, it has to be executed in a spirit of love and humility.
Yeah. Well, and you just said it. I mean, this whole time that we've been preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, I mean, it starts with the heart. I mean, you look back from chapter 5 with the Beatitudes, being salt and light, shining your light before men and women so they see your good works, prayer, fasting, generosity. You know, Jesus said, you know, you've heard it said, do not commit murder, but I tell you, if in your heart you've right. cursed somebody, or you know, you've lusted after someone. So Jesus, he judges the heart, and he knows it's out of the heart is the overflow of our words right. and actions. So it's the motivation of our heart. So when it talks about judging here, it's what we've talked about. It's not being judgmental and critical and right. egotistical, where we're sitting on this high judgment seat yeah. and we're looking down on somebody, sure. condemning them. Yeah. That is what Jesus is talking about.
Well, and you know, you can say what you're doing is unhealthy, and that is a loving thing to do to somebody without communicating, but and God condemns you because of it.
Right. Absolutely.
And so I think of in John chapter 8, when this woman was caught in adultery, the religious leaders throw her at the feet of Jesus, wanting to make, like, hey, we're letting you know she's not living righteous. And Jesus wants to redeem and restore her.
Sure.
And so he kneels down to where she is because he wants to say whatever it was he said, and we see this consistently, like with the woman at the well in John chapter 4, he acknowledges it. Yes. This pattern in your life is not God's best for you. Mm. And he's loving and he's kind, like you talked about, brothers and sisters doing a loving thing to share that. But he also seeks what's their best. And I think that's the motivation for us. You know, absolutely. First of all, are we right with God? Because we've got enough problems in our own life before we sit in judgment. But then it is, how can we seek to see our brother or our sister restored? And isn't that one of the things about our relationship, that we have accountability with one another yeah. so that we can poke fun at each other, but we can also, you know, say, hey, how are you doing? And how sure. are you growing? And what's going on? Because we want God's best for each other.
Absolutely. And I mean, and Paul talks about it in Romans. He says, do not think more highly of yourself than you should. And then yeah, in Philippians, sure. he turns around and says, you know, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but consider others more important than yourself. But,
you know, we've talked so much about how we approach our brothers and sisters sure. in Christ with the spirit sure. of humility. But at the same time, when we're receiving that,
yeah.
somehow we're always the one with the speck
yeah.
and the other person is always the one with the yeah. plank. Yeah. You tell me, you come to me in love and humility, and you tell me something that you're seeing in my life, immediately I'm going to tell you about the plank in your eye, because yeah. we get that defensive nature.
Yeah, that's our flesh gets offended that you might actually point out something that's not healthy in my heart, and I don't like that.
Right.
So yeah, we recoil against that.
Sure.
Yeah.
So we've got to have the kind of relationships, whether it's what we get, what you allude to, Aaron, yeah. what we get to share together, and we really do. I mean, I've been Harpeth Heights for a year, and I love getting to be with these guys every week. And we play around, and there's some back and forth, but it's always loving as we discuss the text, and there's this edification that goes on, but it's always to push us a little further along, and I really appreciate that from you guys. I got to tell you, I love it.
You're welcome.
Grateful for it.
Yeah, for sure.
Anything I'm here for you, buddy.
No, but I know what you're saying. I mean, because we truly, and this is not just for pastors, this is for sure. all believers. We've
sure.
got to walk in a spirit of humility,
right.
of what you said, gentleness, you know, because our yeah. desire is we want to see people reconciled.
Yeah.
We want to see people restored, you know, and it's all about relationships as we follow Jesus
yeah.
and as we love and walk together in our faith.
And I've been guilty of this, and I think Christians are. I mean, we may feel, even if we feel we have the right to say something, when we're not in relationship with others, and that's what we rob ourselves of the right. opportunity of doing when we're just like worship-only attenders, or we're just kind of fringe,
sure.
like, I kind of want to be involved in the church, but I don't. Like, we may be helpful to help somebody become more like Christ and reach their kingdom potential, but because we haven't invested in relationships, it's actually going to come across as like, it is going to come across potentially as judgmental because we don't have those relationships.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So one of the ways that we can guard against this judgmentalism that we're talking about, this trying to take the place of God, because we're not very good at that, guys, by the way.
No.
I try to be,
amen,
but I'm a bad judge. And you know what? God's not even judgmental like that. That's not, when we're condemning, we're not actually being like God. But what we must do is realize that all of our relationships, and I'm talking about our relationships within the church, with fellow believers, they're three-party relationships, guys. Mm. I mean, Jesus is a part of every yeah. one of our relationships. Dallas Willard says it this way, among those who live as Jesus's apprentices or disciples, there are no relationships that omit the presence and the action of Jesus. So we have to, if I'm going to have an opinion, and I can, on how yeah. you're living your life, particularly
right.
if we're close.
Yeah. Sure.
And I want you to have an opinion on it. I mean, I miss the mark sometimes. I get lost, and I need you to feel, and I need you to know that I want you to come to me. But if I'm going to come to you, and I got to go to Jesus first. And that's what Willard is getting at. I see this in the way that Leslie Ann and I are trying to parent our children well. And I'm not talking about a three-year-old. With her, we really need to get, you know, just tell her what to do at this point. But she tried to steal.
Not a whole lot of reasoning.
She tried to steal Aaron's ashtray, like from his.
Having the staff over at our house, and you know, some of the items came up missing, and turns out it's in Brandon's car on the way home.
We're working with her on stealing, which is another part.
It wasn't really an ashtray. Okay, it wasn't. I don't have an ashtray.
It's
the remote control, but go ahead.
It's the remote control. That's what it was.
Never mind.
Ashtray. Anyway, our 11-year-old, it's a little different. He's growing up. We have to be a little more nuanced with him and talk to him about, you know, right and wrong. And we can't just get, you know, the reaction we want from him. Just come out and tell him what he needs to be doing differently. We've got to ask him questions. We've got to disarm him a little bit. We've got to try to understand his perspective. We've got to, you know, maybe get humble and let him know that we've been where he is before. Because we have. And you know what, guys? I've seen it already. If Leslie Ann and I do not pray before we go into those conversations, we are woefully inadequate to have those conversations, even with our own child. And I got to think, how much more is that true with those that we're not that close with?
Sure.
It has to be true. We have to involve Jesus in our relationships.
And it's asking Jesus, give me your eyes to see people the way you do. Give me your heart to love them the way you do. Because when we take whatever the situation is, the prayer, and you've alluded to it earlier, like, he might change our perspective completely and utterly, or he might tell us, I don't even want you to go talk with that person. Or he might say, you know what, I'm going to give you the strength and power and humility to go with courage to talk with the person. But again, it's all about, we want to see the reconciliation and the restoration and the relationships.
Yeah, for sure. And so I think I can speak on behalf of all of us. I mean, we're talking about a text where Jesus is saying there is a right way to have a healthy conversation about even unhealthy things. But do it so that, first of all, we're right with Jesus first, and that secondly, our motivation is not to be right, but to see our brother or our sister loved well and become more like Christ. Mm-hmm. So we always want to ask you to do something with the text that we read and expound on throughout the sermon. And so today, here's one of the things that we collectively had already talked about that we want you to do. Listen, if there is a situation in your life where you have been judgmental or you've been critical, or right now you're sitting in judgment upon somebody, and the Holy Spirit will make you aware of that, then maybe the first thing to do is to confess that to Jesus and to repent of that. And maybe that's the first thing you need to do. I mean, Brandon made a great point. Rather than going to someone, even if you feel that you're justified in doing that, maybe the first thing to do is to go to Jesus. Have you talked with Jesus about this? And in doing so, it's been our experience in our own lives that Jesus will reveal you and I may have enough to work on in our own life before we even think about speaking to somebody else. So maybe you want to talk to Jesus first, and we encourage you to have the courage and the faith to do that. But maybe it is to go and to talk to somebody. Maybe the Lord has prompted you to go and to say something to someone because you love them and you care about them. Make sure that you bathe that decision in prayer. So begin praying about that right now. Lord, let me be loving. Let me come across as wanting your best for them. Give me an opportunity to do that. So maybe you need to pray about that. But there may be somebody that you need to speak to. The Lord may have been making you aware, as he has for us, as you read a text like this, that you need to apologize to somebody for being judgmental and critical towards them. And if you have a critical spirit in general, you may simply need to confess and repent of that to the Lord first, and then go and seek out it. We're not telling you what you need to do. But if the Lord prompts you to pursue reconciliation and redemption with someone else in the church, and then beyond that, if you've behaved in a way that has pushed someone outside the church away from Jesus, then you act as the Holy Spirit leads you. But we're praying you have courage to put this text into action so that it becomes part of the fabric of your life. And again, let me remind you how much we love each other, how grateful we are for all God's doing at Harpeth Heights, the church at Lachlan Springs, the church at Woodbine, and the church at Avenue South. We love you, and we want to grow to become more like Christ and to love our neighbor and our communities well.
Yeah.
So we pray you'll have the courage and the boldness to put this into practice. Let me voice a prayer on our behalf to do just that. God, I love these men. We're grateful for the opportunity to serve such beautiful and uniquely distinct congregations. Mm-hmm. We are so grateful for what you're doing in our churches. We ask that you would continue to do work in our heart first so that we would be right with you. And then out of the overflow of that, we would seek what is best for our brother or our sister in the church, and for our neighbor and our friend in the community. Lord, if you want to reveal anything in our heart that needs to be confessed or repented of, we pray that you would do that now. And we pray that you would raise up these four Davidson County campuses to make much of you and to love our neighbor well so that they might grow closer to you and have eternal life in Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. We love you guys.
Yeah.